that can turn fake and take a twist. But you still have the freedom to travel. Get out and see the world because you can.
This is Cindy Smith with the Freedom to Travel live internet radio program, coming to you every other Sunday at 6:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Otherwise, that is 3:55 Pacific Standard. Today we're live, and you might want to call in and speak with my guest. So grab a pencil and a paper and jot down our call-in numbers. If you're anywhere in the world besides Canada and the United States, call the direct line at 530-876-3222. If you're calling from Canada or the United States, you can dial 888-815-9756. There's also another number for anyone in the United States, and that is 877-876-5227. You can also go onto the BBS Radio website, and they'll be on there as well, and I'll repeat them again later. I'm the executive producer and host of a television series called The Freedom to Travel Show. Briefly, I'll just explain for you. It has three themes. One is my guest, one is their disability, and the other is the travel destination that's completely accessible. So basically what I do is bring a guest who's disabled to a travel destination that's totally accessible while I'm highlighting my guest's achievements and their amazing attitude around their disability. I'm educating my viewers on it, and if that isn't enough, I get to provide a really valuable service to those of us living with a disability. This program is an extension of it in that we are traveling, but not in the literal sense. Instead, we're traveling deep into our hearts, enhancing our love and connection and understanding of one another, and really taking a journey into a heightened awareness or a new perspective or outlook on issues of disabilities. My special guest this week, Greg Smith, is one of the most inspirational, happy, and motivated people I've ever heard speak. And you can find some more of his information on www.thestrengthcoach.com. You can also get information on him on my website, which is thefreedomtotravelshow.com. I'm sorry, it's just freedomtotravelshow.com. And there's also going to be links and stuff like that on my BBS radio site. So you're going to love Greg. He is, no doubt in my mind, an amazing man. And he's not only been honored as an exceptional American by the National Liberty Museum in Philadelphia, boy, that's a tongue twister, and profiled in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the New York Times Magazine, CBS News, and on National Public Radio. He's also a highly sought-after motivational speaker, a radio host, also an author of On a Roll, Reflections from America's Wheelchair Dude with the Winning Attitude. And as if all that's not enough, he's also the recent host of a PBS documentary called On a Roll, Family, Disability, and the American Dream. Greg lives in Mississippi, and he's the father of three. And I seriously cannot say enough about this man. He's touched thousands of people with his message of encouragement and commitments to a fulfilling, happy life. And on that note, I'd like to welcome you, Greg, our strength coach, to this program. Hi, Greg.
All right. Thank you. It was a great introduction. I appreciate it.
Oh, it was easy. Very easy. You're just such an amazing man. And there was so much to cover that I just didn't really know where to begin. But, you know, and I think my first question would probably be to center more, like give our listeners some information about your disability. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Certainly. I was born with muscular dystrophy. And when I was born, you know, when I was about 3 years old, I still wasn't walking. I could barely crawl until they took me to the doctor, and my parents identified that I had what they thought at the time was Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And they thought I wouldn't live to be 14, 15 years old. I'm now 44 and father of three healthy, active kids and, you know, world traveler and has all the things that Cindy just said, you know, a motivational speaker and somebody that really, I think, has done quite well with his disability. But the mechanics of my disability are that I'm gradually getting weaker. I cannot sit up in my wheelchair without a strap around my chest anymore, and I can barely lift my hands up to my head. I can still drive. It's getting more and more difficult, you know, but I need help in terms of getting in and out of bed and all the bathroom stuff and everything. But despite all that, you know, I continue to strive forward in every direction I can, and I think having a purpose is what guides me forward.
Well, you know, and I think you're amazing. Yeah, you are so amazing. So the muscular dystrophy, then, bear with me for being so ignorant, it's a degenerative? And
yes,
does it
is.
Start? And it starts in your brain?
No. It's a muscle disease. So
it's a muscle disease.
It starts in the muscles. It you know, gradually weakens muscle tissue, and you can't build muscle. It just the more you build, the more it attacks. So if you looked at me, you would see I'm very skinny. You know, I weigh 65 pounds, and so I'm about 5 feet 6 inches tall, and I weigh about 65 pounds. So very
now,
frail.
Do you watch what you eat? You can't exercise, you said, right?
Well, I can exercise, and but I, you know, I can't build muscle mass. That's
okay.
Right.
Do you think one of the reasons?
Boy, do you eat anything? And I'm like, yeah, I love food. I just, you know, I just can't really gain weight.
Wow. So you can't gain weight. You can't build muscle. You can exercise. Does that mean you can keep your muscles where they're at? Is that why you've gone so?
I do a lot of stretching, and yeah, I do a lot. I stay busy. I stay active. I try to eat right and try to maintain what I can, what I have, you know.
But being
physically active and not sedentary is, I think, a very important part of the success I've had.
Well, no kidding. So this disease, you said people didn't expect you to live past the age of 12 or 13?
Yeah, they misdiagnosed me. They thought I had a more severe form of muscular dystrophy called Duchenne.
And it
turns out I don't have that. I have a different, still undetermined form of MD.
Oh, so there's not much you can do for it, like medication or anything?
No,
like
there are no treatments. Yeah, exactly.
Ah, okay. So one of the things I wanted to cover as well, you are very highly sought after for motivational speaking, and you've got like on your website, there's a lot of information on it, but you have all these different, you know, speeches and topics and things like that. And one of them, you're also doing radio, isn't that right?
Yeah, I'm the founder of On a Roll Talk Radio on Life and Disability. And what that means is that back in 1992, I quit a job as a research director at a very successful news talk radio station in Phoenix to begin my own radio show on a different station. I quit my job and went out and sold advertising to pay for the airtime on this other station to start this one show. Now, the station was very at the end of the dial, let's put it that way, so it wasn't a major station. But we did the show, and it attracted an audience, and it grew, and eventually it became syndicated and aired on over 70 stations nationwide, and the show ran for about 14 years. It was really my purpose in life. It was something where I would get up in the morning, you know, before day broke, and I was so excited about things I could do that day to build the show. That's what kind of passion I had for what I was doing. I just loved it, and I knew that, you know, eventually it would become this fantastic mechanism for the disability community nationally to congregate and to really have a voice. And
so
I think we succeeded in that to a certain extent, but yet I never really got the acceptance from the radio industry that I thought the show deserved. It aired on the Radio America Network, which I'm not knocking them, but it wasn't like it was airing, you know, on a more mainstream network with major news talk radio stations carrying it. So, you know, but again, I was proud of what we did. I just felt like after 15 years, Cindy, I needed to do something else. So a couple of years ago, I ended the show.
What were some of the topics you covered on the radio?
We talked about life first, disability second. So our primary objective was to create in the minds of the general population an understanding that disability is a natural, beautiful part of natural diversity in human beings. So we talked about things like relationships and sexuality. We talked about travel, as you do. We talked about careers and jobs and family life and everything that made up life, you know, housing, gardening, whatever it was, you know, sports. But we did it all from a disability perspective. And we did it with a sense of humor and a little bit of style and panache. You know, we had things like different segments on the show. One of them, if you remember the late night hit TV series, Politically Incorrect,
mm-hmm.
and we had our feature called Physically Incorrect.
You and I can laugh about that. I hope most of our listeners understand it's, you know, to us it's funny.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it is that we can utilize our sense of humor to deal with some of the things that many people would find terrifying and horrible, but yet we can laugh through it. And I think that was a major part of what was the appeal of our show was.
Yeah, well, I think
And I hate
really
saying was because I really don't like to think of it as being dead. I think of it as being kind of in a hiatus right now until I figure out a better place to put it.
Well, guess what? I was just thinking, you know, here you were some 14, 15 years ago trying to cover topics relating to life and disability, and like you said, the first thing you covered was life and then disability, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do even today. I just think that maybe, you know, you were well beyond your time because I don't think that, you know, socially, I think there's just a new awakening in the world right now. People are starting to come around to wanting to know more about this, plus the population is increasing, you know, as far as people with disabilities and the aging population and the wounded warriors and all that. So I think that there's a little more focus towards those of us with disabilities. But I think your approach was well ahead of its time.
You think so?
Absolutely. I mean,
I thought it was the right time, and I think now is the right time. And
yeah, well,
in the future, it will be the right time.
It's the future. Let's do it, Greg. I'm going to snag you up for my project because I think you're so amazing and you have just the most amazing attitude. I just love everything you stand for, regardless if you have a disability or not. You know, I like some of the things that you, one of the things you were quoted as saying, it takes inner strength to lift the weights of life's challenges. And, you know, is this where you got the term the strength coach?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a sports fan. I grew up in a football family. My dad was a football coach. And in football, you have the strength coach. He's the guy that makes you lift weights and run. And you hate the guy, but he's making you stronger, you know. And I felt like, well, you know, I don't have a lot of physical strength, but I do have a lot of inner strength. And so I thought of the name, the strength coach. And when I said it, I just knew right then that's who I am.
Yes, you are, boy. So how did you get started as a motivational speaker?
I was starting to receive a lot of invitations to speak as a result of the radio show. You know, people would hear me on the radio, and they thought, well, let's get Greg Smith. And so eventually, Cindy, and you'll be able to laugh at this, I started making more money speaking than doing the radio show. So I thought, you know, this guy trying to tell me something.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I was on your website, by the way. I just want to tell our listeners, you have some of that available to listen to. And it's very, very motivational. I loved a lot of the things that were in there. It touched me a lot. So,
well, thank you. You know, what I love about what I do in person rather than on the radio is that I can be speaking and I can look into your eyes while I'm speaking and know right then immediately that I've got you. And that you are listening to what I'm saying, that you are nodding your head, you are looking at me like, wow, I never thought of it that way. And when I can touch an audience like that and see it, and see the results right then and there, there's nothing like it.
Well, you know what? I think that's a really good point because as a person with a disability, I can go out into the world, and depending on who I am out there, is really has a lot to do with what reflects back at me. And you're right. I think people with disabilities are a little more sensitive to you know, naturally we come by being able to kind of read people, whether or not they're comfortable or uncomfortable or, you know, and how to be with them in order to kind of open the doors and say, you don't have to be afraid of me or, you know, it's okay to ask questions or, you know, and I think that there's very few people in the world that actually have that gift, and it's a gift. And you definitely, I get that just by listening to your stuff, that you're very comfortable with who you are and you like to go out there and show people that life is so beautiful, you know?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's a matter of showing people. I just want to live my life, and if that involves showing people and teaching them some things about diversity and about disability, that's great. I mean, you know, as a motivational speaker, I just want to help everybody, whether they have a disability or not, realize their dreams and their goals. You can achieve your dreams and goals. The only thing stopping you from that is yourself and your limiting beliefs. And I really believe that, you know, in teaching people that, I'm making a difference. But I think also just living my life every day, you know, when I take my kids to and from football practice and pick their friends up to spend the night. You know, I thought it was really cool the other night. I have a 14-year-old son, and his friend came over, and I was laying in the bed. And usually my son helps me get out of my bed into my wheelchair. But this kid felt, his friend felt comfortable enough with me and knowing that I'm just Mr. Greg, you know. He came in and said, how can I help you? And he lifted me out of bed and into my wheelchair. And I thought, wow. That's really cool, you know.
It's really cool.
With my disability.
Mhm. Yeah, it is really cool. Some people, that, you know how many people you're touching? Because it's very difficult for a 14-year-old kid to, first of all, you know, extend themselves in any capacity, let alone to, you know, help you do something with a disability. I think that's awesome.
And
so you're making a big impression.
Yeah, they're at a very impressionable age, and I think, you know, knowing me has made a difference in their outlook when it comes to people with disabilities, and if they acquire a disability someday, they'll look at it a lot differently than they would have.
Well, absolutely. I think you're right about that. And so you know, one of the things also, you say, it says in a lot of the stuff I've read here that you're on a mission and that every year, every month, every week, you're gradually getting physically weaker, but you're an expert at accepting change.
That's true.
Tell me about that a little bit.
You know, I dropped my keys on the floor today. And a couple of years ago, and nobody was home, and I had to go pick up my son and get him back here in time for your phone call.
Oh Lord!
Oh, okay. Now I thought, okay, I can maybe use my feet and kick it up against the wall, recline my chair back and kick it up against the wall, and then somehow lean forward and grab them. But I thought that would take about 50 tries, and then I remembered something. I recently just painted my room, and I had a long paint stick. It has kind of a, conveniently for me today, it has some kind of like a plastic flap on it that's small enough to fit into the key ring. So I just went to my room immediately and grabbed the stick and fished the keys straight up. First try, I had them, and I was out of there. You know, I think that, you know, accepting change means you got to get creative in terms of how you do things.
Absolutely.
You know? And, you know, there's things I used to be able to do that I can't do anymore. I don't mourn those things, really. I just look for a different way around the problem. And so that's part of what I talk about in that speech.
Well, so you're very innovative. You come up with what new ways to accomplish, fulfill things in your life that you need to do. How do you keep yourself from falling down into the crevice of the sadness or the loss or the, you know, what is that about you? Is that your inner strength or is that this mission that you're on?
Right now, while you're interviewing me, I'm looking out my window, my bedroom at the bayou on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. And I watch the water roll in and out. The tide rolls in and out. And that's pretty significant and symbolic of problems in life. They roll in and they roll right back out. And the sky's blue and the clouds are white and the grass is green. So why let any specific problem, you know, stop you or paralyze you for the long haul? I think it's okay and natural to be down on yourself every now and then. I'm not going to say that I'm never down on myself, but that stuff rolls in and rolls out like the tide. You've got to get on with the next day.
Yeah.
I also think that having a mission or a purpose in life, you know, something that you're here on the planet for a reason, and knowing what that reason is helps you kind of wash off anything that's going to get you depressed.
What's your reason for being?
What's my reason for being?
Yeah.
It's changed. You asked me that question back in 1992 when I started On a Roll. My mission was to bring disability to a new awareness level using radio. Okay. Now I believe my mission is a little uncertain, but I know that in some way it involves being an example of what's possible for people with disabilities and also inspiring everyone, whether they have a disability or not, helping people touch into their inner strength and really understand that they can be productive and be positive and reach their goals and really live the life of their dreams. I got dreams, you know. Everybody has dreams. And, you know, I'm looking at my dreams now. You know, 15 years ago, I would have looked at the way I'm living now as a dream come true. But now I'm looking at other things that I'd like to bring into my life that would just make me so happy. And so I keep looking at those and moving forward.
Well, exactly. You got to always have some goals, right?
Absolutely.
And isn't it fun how our lives transpire and you look back, like you said, you know, in 1992, you look back and your reason for being has changed since then. Now you want to be more of an example rather than just going out there to try and raise awareness. You want to be more of an example. But you know what? All along, you've kind of been fulfilling both of those things.
That's
really
true. You know, really, I think another reason for being is to be a good father, you know. I have three kids that are, you know, at a very impressionable age, 15, 14, and going to be 11. And so, you know, I think that goal has grown since 1992 when I had my first child. I mean, you know, when they're young, you can still really pursue your dreams to a certain level, but there comes a point in time where you got to really focus on the kids. And so that's a big part of my life now is just, you know, enjoying watching my son play basketball and watching my other son play football and my daughter as a cheerleader. You know, those things are amazing to me right now.
You know, that's one thing I wanted to ask you because you are just, like, I was reading through some of your stuff, and you're right, you got the basketball player, the football player, the cheerleader. They're all very motivated, you know, like in sports. And I wonder, you know, you and I both have a disability. I have kids, you know, 14-year-old boys. What has been the message that you've kind of given to your children or portrayed to your children that I missed out on? And what I mean by that is my kids don't have the motivation, really, to play the sports. And if there was some way for me to help, you know, focus in on allowing them to become more motivated with, you know, at this stage, because it's such a tough age for kids anyways, you know, what message would you give them?
You know, it's funny. I never really pushed my kids to play sports. They just naturally gravitated to it and love it. And so if they were in the band, I'd be just equally as excited about that. I was in the band when I was in high school. So no matter what their ideas, you know, ideas and interests are that they want to pursue, I'd be in support of that. So I mean, maybe your kids aren't comfortable athletes, but there's something else that they can find and be passionate about and you can encourage.
You know, interestingly enough, they're talking about high school football right now, so
I'm really wanting
to jump on that one and go with it, you know. So.
Well, I love football, and, you know, if you want me to talk to them, I'd like to do that because football, I believe more than any other sport, teaches you the most about life. I mean, it really tells you
what
about
do you mean? Give me
work.
Some – yeah, oh, okay.
Why
hard
did I work. Say that?
Yeah.
Hard work pays off. I mean, you win football games on Monday at practice. You don't win them on Friday nights. I mean, you know, it takes a lot of hard work. And then strategy and study. You have to study your opponent. And in football, you know, if you make a mistake, you get penalized, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You make too many mistakes and you're going to lose the game. You know, if you have an opportunity and you drop the football, guess what? The opportunity's gone. And there's just so many analogies to life that are represented
yeah.
in football. I just love the sport.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm looking for...
And sorry, that applies to other sports as well. I don't know, maybe there's something about just the physical, grueling nature of football. Life can be grueling and physical sometimes. You know, especially for me,
yeah.
you would think, how can your life be physical, Greg? You don't really do anything physical. Well, guess what? Climbing into my wheelchair from bed is physical.
Getting
up on the bathroom sink to brush my teeth is physical, you know?
Yeah. So tell me, when you...
Swallowing a steak is physical. All right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's to a different level, but, you know, people don't realize the physical... I think they don't realize the physical things that people with disabilities have to go through that they would take for granted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And at the same token... It's not the end of the world either, and in some ways what I mean by that is a lot of people will say, oh my God, you have to walk with a cane your whole life, and to me I think, wow, you know what, I feel like one of the lucky ones, because I know what the alternative could be, and I don't mind being disabled at all. In fact, I'm pleased with my disability, if that makes any sense. You know, I suppose to a disabled person talking to a disabled person, it does. But to the general public, they many times don't understand what I mean by no, please. Yeah. So, you know, like you said, swallowing that big piece of steak, it might be a challenge to you, but boy, when it's done, it sure does taste good.
Feels good in your tummy. You know, another thing you said that reminded me of something. I was on a flight recently, and, you know, when you fly, if you have a disability, you get to pre-board. So you're the first one on the plane, and you're the last one off. And so I was waiting to get off the plane, and there was another gentleman, elderly gentleman, who was one of the last to get off as well. And he refused a wheelchair. He wanted to use his walker, and then when he got off the plane, he didn't want a wheelchair, he didn't want an aisle chair. So this guy is going, like, you know, 0.3 miles an hour, just trying to really hobble his way off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept saying, well, you know, here, we can get a chair for you. No, I don't want a chair. Well, I'm not that bad off. And I'm thinking,
oh, right.
What is it about a chair that's bad off? I mean,
I don't know, because you know what? For me, when I get in my wheelchair, I look forward to it because that means I have a sense of freedom. I can go wherever I want without limitations, without pain, without worrying about it for the next 2-3 days because I've walked too far or I took it too far. My wheelchair for me is like, yay! I get to participate in life. Bring it on.
Yeah. I mean, there is that fate worse than death label been bestowed upon people with disabilities. And I think that's old news. I think that's really going out and being replaced by the new disability paradigm, which is that we're a beautiful part of diversity.
Yes, absolutely. And that was something else I wanted to talk about in your you just to get to your PBS documentary a little bit, the On the Roll, Family Disability and the American Dream. There, it's actually on your website, the 30 minutes of it. So if any
actually,
of the listeners
no,
want to...
Actually, let me correct you there.
Okay.
What's on my website is one of the most amazing speeches that I've ever given. I can't believe I gave this speech. It's so good.
I heard it.
So I just wanted to share it with people. It's not going to be up there forever because I can sell it instead of showing it for free. But it's up there right now. You can go to www.thestrengthcoach.com. and watch it. And I learned a lot in terms of preparing that speech and, you know, a lot about how hard work pays off. That was given at the National Speakers Association annual workshop in Denver, Colorado, last year. But the Honor Roll documentary is a film about my life, my family, that was done by a producer in Yellow Springs, Ohio, named Joanne Caputo. And Joanne and I met through our kids. They were friends in school. And so she would come by and pick up her son, and we got to become friends. And she thought, wow, this would be a good subject for a documentary. So she started following me around with a camera in about 1994, 95, somewhere in there. And the film came out in 2005.
She's got a lot of footage on you.
Years and years of footage, and she put together a very interesting story of what it's like for one person to live a life with a disability and have dreams and have family and have, you know, a lot of the conflict that everyone else has. And I think what the film does is it shows that you can be disabled, but you're still normal. And you have your own problems and you have your own triumphs. And I think that's why it won in 2005. It won the Audience Award as the top documentary on the Independent Lens series on PBS that year.
Oh, my God. See, I'm telling you, when I harp about my guest the way I did about you, it's no joke. You are a very impressionable man, and I'm just so honored to have met you, and I'm really looking forward to snagging you up somehow. Because I need your help. You're so amazing. You're exactly, you know, what erases the whole disability, if you will, quote unquote, dogma, you know, the years of preconceived beliefs. That's just thank you.
There are lots of us out there that are doing a very good job in terms of just making people more aware and just living our lives and enjoying ourselves.
Yeah, we are. I definitely can say that, you know, you are an example, and I can give myself that much credit because I kind of look forward to going out into the public and just, you know, shining above my diversity, if you will.
Right.
But it's a daily, I don't know. I mean, I could consider it a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm privileged to have this assignment.
Right on.
Right.
Hey, listen, we're right at 30 minutes. We're going to take a quick break. So for the listeners, they can. I'll repeat the phone number when we get back in case they want to call. We're going to take a quick break, go to the bathroom, do whatever you need to do, and we'll be back here in a couple minutes, not too long from now. Hi, listeners. Sorry about that little problem we had there. It's all rectified, and we're back with our guest, Greg Smith, the strength coach. You can find his information, again, on www.thestrengthcoach.com. You can also get some information from my site at thefreedomtotravelshow.com. And as a reminder to those people out there who would like to call, if you're up to it, we have a few numbers you could jot down. If you're in Canada or the United States, you can call 530-876-3222. From Canada or the United States, you can dial 888-815-9756. Anyone in the United States can call 877-876-5227. So, hi, Greg. You back?
I'm back.
Oh, little problem there. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. Nothing like loud radio.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, there was a couple things, though, that I wanted to talk to you about. One of the things I kind of overread and somewhere on your site talked about that you talk to, like, professional football teams. You do motivational speaking with all kinds of different sport venues. Is that right?
I'd like to do more of it, but yes, I've done some.
Yeah. For who have you done it with?
The most exciting one was I did a thing for the University of Tennessee football team. I spoke to them on their final practice before going down to play Alabama. And they ended up winning that game in 5 overtimes, and then they won the rest of their regular season games. So maybe, hopefully, I said something that resonated with them.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it was awesome.
You're darn right. You're darn right. You know, if you could put yourself in an AB body, you'd have been one of those players out there. You're a strong man. Really?
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things people don't realize. When you said your body was kind of weak, but in reality, you're an extremely strong man, much stronger than the average person.
Thank you.
So, my pleasure. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is I saw on your site, which I'm going to keep referring to because I think it's such a powerful place to be, is you mentioned something about visitability, and I thought that was very interesting. I had never heard of that before. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is and where it came from?
The term was coined, I believe, by a woman named Eleanor Smith, who lives in Atlanta and is a disability advocate. And what that means is to have homes constructed so that people in wheelchairs can visit them, okay? Most homes have at least one step to get up into the home. A lot of them have more than one. And so that means that, you know, it's virtually impossible for us to connect with people in the place where that happens the most, and that is in homes. So visitability means constructing homes that have at least one no-step entrance somewhere in the home. It can be the back door, it can be the garage door, or the front door, you know. And so many new homes are being built on slabs, and unnecessarily they make them, I don't want to say not accessible, they make them unvisitable. And so our mantra is to try to make it so that we can get in.
Right. I love it. I love it.
You know, where do you develop your friendship? You know, you might meet somebody somewhere, but you really, you become friends and you connect on a personal level in home.
Yeah.
And so for us, that's hard to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I loved it. It's a couple of things that you said in there. So you've got one entry level for somebody with a disability, like in a chair, and ideally to have a bathroom that has a door wide enough to fit a wheelchair,
which is
about 32 inches on average.
Right. Yeah.
Right. That's amazing. And the other thing you said I thought was brilliant was visitability, and hopefully in the future, the term visitability will actually create value for your home.
Right, because the more flexible it is, the better it is for you. And also, you know, there are other things that you'd probably like to roll into your house other than wheelchairs, you know, baby strollers, whatever, you know. So, you know, I mean, you're saying things to me that I've been preaching for 15 years, and so I've lost a little bit of my edge in terms of expecting that they're ever going to happen, but, you know, I think talking about them. You know what I mean? It's just, it gets so frustrating after a while that you want to move on, but,
we
try to get visibility implemented here on the Gulf Coast after Hurricane Katrina. And we were met with nothing but, you know, ignorance and people just disregarding anything we said about it.
And unfortunately, I think what you're saying here is many times, I'm disabled because of a car accident. So I was not born with a disability or any sort of disease. I was all of a sudden gone from a normal, able-bodied life to, bang, this big change and this big difference. So if people don't have to be, you know, put into a situation where they need to be aware of it, how are they going to know? And that's where I think people like you and me come into play so much, especially with our wounded veterans, because they come back to the world and they're shoved out into a society that's completely different from what they knew. You know, they're different, and the society is different. And I think as our population increases and our baby boomers become older and we have more disabled people or a larger disability community, I think something like this visitability is an amazing idea, and we got to make this happen somehow.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we've been trying for a long time.
Miracles, right?
We'll be motivated again to keep trying, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So you live close to the water then in Kentucky, in Mississippi?
Yes, I live, a lot of people don't realize that Mississippi is on the Gulf of Mexico. There's a little part of the state that's on the beach. And so we live right in that area, right on the Gulf of Mexico. In fact, we have a boat that we take out into the Gulf to go fishing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good for you. Do you have to have special fishing gear or anything?
Well, I'm so disabled that I can't really fish anymore. But my father just carries me on the boat, and I just sit and watch and sometimes take pictures and help them talk trash.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So what are your new latest projects?
Boy, I tell you, I'm always writing, and I don't know what I'm writing now is going to end up being. It might be kind of like an audio workbook kind of thing about inner strength and about my philosophy when it comes to being productive, and that is that, you know, many people have negative addictions in their lives, right? I mean, just about everybody either has a negative addiction or they have a bad habit. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call it an addiction, but it's a bad habit that they can't control. They just have to do it. And so the reason why they do it is because it dulls the pain. It feels good, you know? And so I realized a long time ago, and then I started writing this, is that what feels best to me is the feeling I get after I get something done that's been difficult to do. That feeling of euphoria, of excitement, of pride that comes from being productive is something that I'd like to experience again and again and again. And so I've developed what I call an addiction to GSD. Not LSD. GSD. And that is what I call getting stuff done. And so every day I make a list of things I want to get done, and then everyone I mark off the list, it just feels good. And I relish in that good feeling, and I've just become addicted to that process. And I think that's really fuel for and a formula for being very productive in your life. And so that's one of the things I'm writing right now. And hopefully it'll be a book or a workbook or something.
Getting stuff done. I like that.
Because
you know what? Yeah, I feel the same way when you accomplish something. Like even, you know, like for me, I was going to college recently, taking some night classes, and I was, you know, it's difficult to have a life and carry on with a career and blah, 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 and take a class at the same time. But, boy, when you receive that grade and it pays off for all the work, it's its own natural high.
Right, and what you got to do is you got to not only let it be its own natural high, but exaggerate the high. Reward yourself. Just go nuts over it, and then I think as you exaggerate it, you get used to that feeling, and you'll want it again.
And again and again.
Right, exactly. Make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? I'm starting at my late age of life, I'm starting to get the same way. You know, when you find, you kind of learn to focus in on things that make you feel good. And that's one of them. That and actually what you said earlier, by setting an example. I'd love to go out into the world and shine brightly, because I know I'm making the world an easier place for people who may not find it as easy. You know,
yeah.
newly disabled people especially, who need to reinvent who they are.
Right.
You know, that's a difficult space. It takes many years to come to terms with the change in life, or even, like you said, the unfortunate ignorance, like of that guy on the plane who just held everybody up because he would not sit in that chair.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, man. We
can you ask me what else I'm working on? Can I share with you one other thing I'm doing?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. I really feel like it feels good to help other people with disabilities who want to become speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm doing now is I'm starting a speakers bureau that is focused on speakers with disabilities, young, upcoming, professional speakers.
Mm-hmm.
I meet them all the time, and they're people that, you know, they're interested in speaking, they want to do it, but they don't really know what to do to get to the next step. And so next week I'm having an event here in Mississippi that's going to feature two up-and-coming speakers. One of them is a lady named Charity Drummond, and the other is a gentleman named LeBron Saffold. Charity has osteogenesis imperfecta, and is about 3 feet tall. She's a fireball, you know. She's the daughter of a preacher, and very, very inspirational with everything she has to say. I mean, you'll love her.
Mm.
LeBron is 21 years old and is a paraplegic, the result of a car accident. He was driving. His car went off of a bridge or something like that, and it killed his 11-year-old cousin and left him with the future of living in a wheelchair. And he went through a lot of other struggles after spending 6 months in the hospital. Mother kicked him out of the house. You know, all these things happened to him. But yet, when you hear his voice and when he talks about what gave him the fuel to get through that, you're going to be so inspired.
I can't wait.
These are people that, you know, they need to be heard, and unfortunately there's no venue for them. So I want to see if I can help them and other people like them get their message out. So
we're having an event
next week in Mendenhall, Mississippi, very rural area. We're inviting everybody in the rural southern Mississippi community to come out and really get fired up, because America needs to be fired up right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. In fact, on that subject, and I'm really glad you mentioned that to me, because we haven't talked about that before. I was thinking, you know, I would like to open my radio show up to you if you would like to use this hour as an opportunity to raise awareness with Charity and this other gentleman. Please, I would love to allow you to do that and give you another hour.
Let's do it.
We could work something out. Yeah, that sounds great.
And you know, there are hundreds more charities and LeBrons out there that we don't even know about.
Well, there you go. And there's thousands. The more involved I get, you know, there's always someone who knows someone. And they're just people out there. That's the other thing with my television series. You know, at first I thought, well, what I want to do is get a hold of someone like Muhammad Ali, or, you know, somebody with a disability, Josh Blue, or, you know, somebody. And then I started thinking, gosh, there's just so many amazing people in the world like yourself that can make just as big as an impression. They don't have to be famous to touch the world with their message. And
are you saying I'm not famous?
You are famous. So therein lies the difference. You're just a little more famous, but there's so many people in the world like us that are like me.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, I think it's getting close. We're getting pretty close to the end of our... Oh, wait a minute. I think we have a caller.
All right.
Is that what that was?
Yes.
Hi.
Cindy?
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Greg.
Hello there. How you doing? Did you say Dad, Cindy?
I'm doing fine. I have to tell you something. I love a couple of things here that I've heard, and I just wanted you to know that I love the strength coach. I think football is an amazing example of what happens. And I like the list of what to do. And on your program that you have coming up on speakers, Cindy would be an excellent speaker. You guys are awesome together.
We
have a lot of problems.
There's a lot of problems
with your transmission today.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry about that.
Well, that's not it. I mean, it's very impressive. And you guys are awesome together. Greg, you're a real hero, buddy.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And you're
well,
right.
That's because you're a Swiss, huh? What do you
think? Sorry, Greg. Greg, you say what you need to say, because I just said
that, you know, he's right, and we do need to kind of work together more. I'd love
that. Oh, we will. I said it from the beginning of this show. I fell in love with you the minute I turned on your website. And I think I talked to you before, or I found you on your website, and I was like, oh, my Lord. And the more I get to know you, the deeper I get. And I think you just have that way about you. And I can't wait to know and be more involved with you. And, Dad, I really appreciate your phone call.
Hey, I had some problem finding it, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, but that's okay. Because I found it. I just want you guys to know that what you're doing is really important, and I back you 100%. And how can the public help? And here's your mom to say hi.
Hey, guys. I'm so impressed. Greg, it's great to talk to you. I do have a question. I think I was so inspired by hearing what you had to say about your son, and I think that young boys are hungry for your counseling, and I think that you should really reach out to boys today and how you can inspire them. What do you think about that? I'm sure you've worked and done some of that on your own, but I mean, don't you think young boys today really could handle some great conversation from you?
You know, that's something that I've never really thought about specifically targeting boys, so it's definitely a good idea and something I would consider.
Heck, Mom, you just hit the nail on the head with that one. I think you'd be great at that.
Oh, yeah, because just from what I heard him talk about with his own son and personal, I mean, even if your son could maybe go on a couple of, speaking tours with you and to inspire other young boys, because it seems to me today that it's very difficult for young boys to become involved and have that little bit of lift that they need to have. They're not getting at home sometimes today. I really, really would think that would be a great idea. But, you know, another thing, Greg and Cynthia, you guys need to let the public know how they can help in any way. If we can make contributions.
Absolutely. There's always a need for funding.
Well, would we go onto your website then, Greg, and could we get information on that? On the
I strongly encourage you to support Cynthia and just go to her website to support what she's doing. The best way you can support my work is there's a few ways. Number one, hire me to speak at your next event rather than have that boring guy that put you to sleep last year give the keynote address. and the other thing is get a copy of my book on my website, www.thestrengthcoach.com.
Oh, well, that's a key there. I really will do that, and I can't wait to read it.
All right. It sounds good. Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Mom and Dad.
Okay. Thanks, you guys. Keep up the good work.
All right. Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well,
hey,
Greg.
Listen, you got your parents to call in. I did my show for 15 years, and they never called in.
Well, you know what? I think with each show, they just get more and more, I've been trying to, you can impress on people what you're after, but for them to really get it, to hear it and to feel it the way, they are now, I think with each show, they just become more and hungry to hear more and more influenced by my guests. And I think that for them to call, you've really touched them.
Well, I think we have kindred spirits. I mean, I know what you're doing because I've done it. And it is worthwhile work. It's very rewarding. It's amazing to know that you've connected with people and you've made a difference in their thinking. And that helps everybody else with a disability. And that you've inspired, people without disabilities. So, I mean, Yeah, you're doing good stuff.
Oh, so are you. And I'm looking forward to, you know, I'm sure, like I said, I really want to extend an invitation for you to be able to go ahead and do an interview on my show and kind of open that up as well for more people to hear our message, you know, to bring awareness to people with disabilities and make life a lot easier for the general population as well, not just me and you or those of us
right.
with disabilities.
Right.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Greg. You are a beautiful, wiser than your years, insightful man. And I'm very, very appreciative for all that you have shared with us. And unfortunately, our time is coming to a quick stop here. So thank you, Greg.
Cynthia, you're welcome. I've learned a lot from you tonight on the show. And one of the things I learned the most is that I do have a desire to get to know you better and to work with you and help you in any way I can. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Fabulous. Okay, so I'm just going to close this up. On Sunday, the 1st of June, me and Josie Varga will be interviewing Jerry Jewell, who is a famous actress with her part of On the Facts of Life as a gal with cerebral palsy, and her most recent part on HBO's series Deadwood. So just as a reminder, I'm keeping things simple. What you need as far as information for our radio show or the television series can be found at my site, www.freedomtotravelshow.com. Also, if you want to get any information on this amazing guest, Greg Smith, you can find some on my travel show, Freedom to Travel Show site, or go to thestrengthcoach.com for some more information. Thank you all for your support, for listening, and for writing into me the way you guys have done. And don't forget, get out and see the world because you can. There's a whole world waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Blessings, listeners. Over and out.